Judicial Circuit. Hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is Lakeland Enterprises against Chow. Mr. Zadowski.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm John Zawadzki of Reinhardt, Borner, Van Doren, representing the petitioner Lakeland Enterprises of Rhinelander, Inc. Lakeland seeks reversal of the decision of the Review Commission on four grounds. One, Lakeland submits that OSHA's conclusion that Lakeland's trench was in violation of the applicable regulations is not supported by substantial record evidence. Second, Lakeland submits that even if the trench was in noncompliance, Lakeland should not have been found guilty of a willful violation. Third, Lakeland further submits the administrative law judge improperly refused to permit Lakeland's expert witness, Harry Butler, to testify regarding Lakeland's compliance with OSHA's trenching standards. And fourth, Lakeland submits that the inspection was conducted in violation of the Fourth Amendment, the United States Constitution, and OSHA's applicable governing regulations. In brief review, on August 28, 2002, Lakeland was scheduled to extend underground utility lines it was installing at a construction project in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Foreman Ron Krieger came on site at 6 o'clock in the morning, measured off the dimensions of the trench, and spray-painted those dimensions with orange paint. Krieger testified without contradiction that he thereafter did excavate the trench pursuant to those dimensions that he had painted onto the trench site, and he excavated on the west side beyond the existing curb and gutter lines to the painted dimensions.
Could I ask you something about that, please?
Certainly, Your Honor.
Officer Greenwood testified, and the ALJ found that Mr. Krieger continued to excavate the trench with the backhoe while Mr. Greenwood was there watching. Now, if we start from that premise, and we don't know the exact dimensions of the trench at the moment that Mr. Greenwood arrived on the scene, how can we say that the ALJ was wrong in the inferences that he drew about the probable dimensions of the trench?
Your Honor, that's a very good question, and I'm glad you raised it. There are several things I'd like to say in response to that question. First of all, you have the videotape that the OSHA compliance officer took on site. That is part of the record. I would ask the court to look at that videotape at 9:32 a.m., and something very interesting happened here, Your Honor. It's kind of like the Watergate tapes. The tape starts at 9:24 a.m., and you see the initial walk-on of the compliance officer. 8 minutes then is erased from the tape. So the next time you will look at the tape, it will say 9:32 a.m. At 9:32 a.m., the compliance officer says, and I quote, Your Honor, "He has not changed the top area of the trench, but he's widened the bottom area considerably." And that is what we have contended all along. The top side of the trench was always 34 feet wide. And if you look at the videotape and you look at the relevant photographs, you will see that the curb line of that road, that existing road, is taken out because they're bringing this trench across the road. It is impossible for that trench to be less than 34 feet wide if that curb line has been removed.
Tell me this. Am I wrong in thinking that you seem to concede in your reply brief that the ALJ may have been justified in concluding that the south wall was not in compliance with OSHA standards?
You phrased that very carefully, Your Honor. We concede that there is a possibility that the court could find that the south side of the slope was 49 degrees if one accepts the original measurements that the compliance officer made when he came on site. Our contention in that regard, Your Honor, is that he did that measurement by himself with a very long pole. And I don't know if any of the of your honors have had a chance to look at the videotape that either the compliance officer took or that Lakeland took, both of which are in evidence. But there's a very long rod that's over 20 feet long that's used to make the slope measurement, and then there's a protractor, a device on that rod, which gives you the degree measurement, so you know what the slope is on that trench side.
And
Your Honor, just to finish off the point, excuse me.
No.
What happened was is that because he was doing it himself, the rod bent. And we testified to that. Ron Krieger testified to that, Your Honor. And the Solicitor General did not put Mr. Greenwood back on in rebuttal.
See, what I was trying to figure out here is whether or not that doesn't sort of show that this is a case where it's possible to draw conflicting conclusions about the facts. And we always, of course, defer to the fact finder in that type of situation.
Your Honor, I do understand that. And I would not defer to the fact finder in this situation because the fact finder repeatedly made decisions and based his opinion on his own observations. The administrative law judge was never shown to be an expert witness, not shown to have any knowledge. I was not allowed to cross-examine the administrative law judge as an expert witness.
Don't worry. We're not experts, and you can't cross-examine us either, but you seem content to have us decide.
Thank you, Your Honor, but this was during while the record was being developed. The administrative law judge determined in his opinion that, based on his observation of the trench, that the trench was in violation.
You've just invited us to review the video and do it all ourselves, although we aren't experts and you're not going to cross-examine us. Why is it appropriate for a federal court of appeals essentially to second-guess, make a de novo decision in an administrative proceeding about what the angle of trench walls is?
Well, I don't think I'm asking you to do that, Your Honor. I think there's a difference between asking you to make a conclusion based on expertise, which I'm not asking you to possess, and looking at a videotape to see an orange painted line, which is a question of fact. Yes,
Your Honor. Do we know what those 8 minutes? What was happening during those 8 minutes?
We don't, Your Honor. What we know that the compliance officer was on site, and what occurred was that when he came on site, Jim Gust, who was the project superintendent for Lakeland, asked him to go back beyond the barricade and the orange cones. And at that point in time, he advised that there had been an employee in the trench, and Mr. Gust was unaware of it. So according to the compliance officer, when he backed up the tape to show him that video, that's when he erased that tape. And we have no reason to doubt that, Your Honor. The point that I'm trying to make here, and this, I don't think there's any factual dispute about this proposition, is that it's undisputed in the record that Lakeland's foreman, Ryan Krieger, took a number of measures to ensure that the trench was in compliance with OSHA regulations and to protect the safety of employees. And we articulate those steps that were taken and Mr. Krieger's commitment to a safe trench in our briefs to this court.
You know, even if we assume that no one saw Mr. North go into the trench, Mr. Krieger admitted in his written statement that at some point he noticed that Mr. North was in the trench, and he allowed him to remain there, I think, for about 2 minutes without ordering him out. And so why wouldn't it be a fair inference that Lakeland acquiesced in the violation by not immediately ordering Mr. North out of the trench?
A couple of reasons, Your Honor. One is that based on Mr. Krieger's knowledge of the trench at the time that occurred, Mr. Krieger was of the opinion that the trench was in compliance with OSHA's regulations. It's our argument, our contention, that based on OSHA's measurements, the compliance officer's measurements, that we contend that the only possible noncompliance with the trench is the south wall.
Well, then why did he order him out after 2 minutes?
He didn't order him out after 2 minutes. He left on his own after 2 minutes. He walked out of the trench after 2 minutes.
Okay.
And part of what to me, is a critical part of this appeal is the finding of a willful violation. You know, if this was simply a finding of a technical violation because we were 4 degrees off on the south slope, quite frankly, Your Honor, I doubt that we'd be up here on appeal. But I think that to us, all the steps that we took to ensure trench compliance, and going back to Your Honor's question about Mr. North in the trench, Mr. North was on the north end of that trench. Even if the south wall had totally collapsed, which is highly improbable, the dirt could not have reached Mr. North's feet. So part of our argument here is, okay, if this court decides to give deference to the administrative law judge's finding of a violation of the trench because we're at a 49-degree slope on the south side of the slope, there is not substantial evidence in the record to justify a finding of a willful violation on this record. The record shows that Lakeland had two trench boxes right by the trench when the compliance officer came on site. Lakeland was in the process of widening the bottom of that trench to insert those trench boxes, which is part of its dual safety compliance on trench safety. And we submit that on this record, with this employer, that a willful violation was inappropriate. And unfortunately, at least in our opinion, the judge seemed to be significantly affected by a fatality which occurred in 1996 in Plover, Wisconsin, on a Lakeland project. But the facts of the record show that fatality occurred after hours. There was no evidence the employee was working when it occurred, and there was a trench box in the trench when it occurred. So I would submit that should not probably have even come into evidence, and I made that objection, but that's not before the court. My point is that does not mean that because Lakeland had another situation with an employee in the trench 6 years later that it suddenly becomes willful. And you know, I do think that was an error of emphasis by the administrative law judge in the proceedings below. This court seems to have be quite knowledgeable about the contentions that we've made in our brief, and I will like to say reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Gabriel.
Good morning, Your Honor. Lee Grable for the Secretary of Labor. I think Your Honor had it correct. This is a case of conflicting evidence and testimony in the record, and it's a case that's under the substantial evidence standard, which means that the court should defer to the factual findings of the judge below.
Just tell me this: what do you think we should make of the assertion that the measuring pole that Officer Greenwood was using to measure the dimensions of the trench was flexing or bending and therefore was yielding inaccurate measurements?
It's irrelevant here, Your Honor. The compliance officer took these measurements after the trench had been what the judge called groomed by Mr. Krueger. It's not disputed in this case that Krueger continued digging out the trench during the time that Noth was in the trench and after Noth was in the trench. I would ask the court to look at Exhibit C2, which is photographs that are still photographs taken from the video. The still photographs show Noth in the trench. The first three photographs in the series show Noth in the trench with what looks like a vertical wall on his left, on the west side. That vertical wall, the compliance officer testified, was there at the time Noth was in the trench. So the trench dimensions changed after Noth came out of the trench. So those slope measurements are essentially irrelevant. And again, Exhibit C2 also shows later pictures of the trench, pictures that show the stick, the measuring stick, in the trench. And it shows what looks like to be essentially a different trench. So I would ask the court to look at that evidence. R3 are also some photographs of the trench that are relevant here.
And the 8 minutes that are gone, that's just irrelevant as well?
There's some testimony by the compliance officer that he hit a button accidentally or something, but the employee was in the trench at 9:24, and then there's something that there's further videotape at 9:32. Well, at 9:24, the violation was observed. Then Gust, the project superintendent and the compliance officer, held an opening conference. So there was time during which the compliance officer was explaining to Gust exactly what the scope of the inspection would be. They then went back and continued the inspection. This implication that the compliance officer willfully erased some tape, it's just wrong, and there's nothing in the record that would support that. There's substantial evidence of a violation here. That evidence, the court doesn't even have to look at any more evidence than this testimony of the compliance officer and the photograph showing a west wall that's vertical. It doesn't have to look at the soil type, because a vertical trench would be non-compliant even if the trench were type A. Lakeland's alleging the trench was the most stable type of soil, type A. But type A trench has to be sloped at 53 degrees. The compliance officer observed that this trench was vertical. So the court can affirm the violation on that basis alone. There's other evidence in the record, and I'll leave that to the briefs. And by the way, the judge's finding here is especially strong because the judge made credibility findings against Lakeland's witnesses, against Kruger, against Goth, and against Taylor.
Yeah, well, speaking of witnesses, why shouldn't Mr. Butler have been allowed to testify as to whether, you know, or not Lakeland violated the excavation standard? And since that purported violation is at the heart of the case, why wasn't Lakeland prejudiced by the ALJ's ruling on this point? And Lakeland says it was absolutely hamstrung without Mr. Butler.
That's just not true, Your Honor. In the first place, even if the judge had erred here, that error would be harmless, because as I've just explained, the west wall was vertical at the time that, according to the compliance officer's observations and the photographs of the trench. The expert was going to testify as to the physical dimensions of this trench. He was going to testify as to specifically the testimony which Lakeland alleges in its brief. The expert was going to testify was that the previously disturbed soil in the trench had been scaled back to the envelope of the trench. There was no more previously disturbed soil on the east and west side of the trench. There's no dispute that there was previously disturbed soil on the north and south side of the trench, but there was previously disturbed soil. They're arguing that there was no previously disturbed soil on the east and west side of the trench, and that he would have testified that all the soil on the east and west side was type A. Well, even if, as I've just explained, all the soil in the trench were type A, there'd still be a violation here, and there'd be a violation because of that vertical wall, and also because on the north and south side of the wall, there's no dispute that soil was previously disturbed, and the trench was only 39 feet long by Lakeland's own admission. Now, as we've explained in our brief, in order for this to be a compliance standard, in type B soil, this would have to have had been 42 feet long, and type C soil, 60 feet long. The north and south side cannot be type A soil according to the standard. That's written into the standard that previously disturbed soil, which the north and south side were, cannot be type A soil. Thus, there was a violation here. The expert's testimony would have been harmless. Plus, it was cumulative because all the testimony would have simply reiterated what Lakeland's witnesses were saying. In fact, Kruger testified that the soil in the trench was pushed back beyond on the west, east, and west side was pushed back beyond the envelope of the previously disturbed. So there was nothing new in Butler's testimony. It was cumulative. It wouldn't have assisted the trier of fact, and it was harmless.
What about the willfulness finding? This was a very brief violation, if there is substantial evidence to support the finding of a violation. no evidence that this was ongoing in any way on this particular excavation?
Willfulness.
It's 2 minutes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Willfulness is something that an employer can act willfully if he either consciously disregards the standard or acts with plain indifference to the standard. Leaving the employee in that trench for 2 minutes without ordering him out, that's willfulness, because despite what Lakeland's attorney says, Kruger knew that it was unsafe to be in this trench. And there's evidence supporting that. And even though there might be contradictory testimony from Kruger that he thought the trench was safe, there's evidence supporting the judge's finding that the trench was unsafe and that he knew the trench was unsafe at the time of the violation. He admitted soon after, he admitted in his written statement, which was taken almost directly after the violation occurred, he admitted that the trench was type C. He admitted in that statement that he knew it was no excuse that Kruger was in the trench, that Noth was in the trench for just a couple of minutes. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, he admitted, he told Noth when Noth came out of the trench that Noth should not have been in the trench without a trench box. Well, a trench box is a device, Your Honor, that employers use to keep employees safe in trenches when trenches are not safe, when trenches are inadequately sloped. They're large metal boxes composed of four sides. You stick it in the trench. The employer gets in the trench box, and if a trench collapse happens, well, the employee is protected. It can't fall into the trench box. It falls onto the trench box. But even more important evidence of willfulness here is Lakeland's complete failure to have a meaningful safety program here. Lakeland had been cited 6 times for trenching violations between 1993 and 2002.
How many of those were substantiated?
They were all final orders of the commission. All of them were finalized as final orders of the commission. None of them. And a final order of the commission is an affirmed violation.
Does that become part of this record? Those...
What do you mean?
Well, is that part of this case in some way?
It shows willfulness. The AGP JP construction case, the Globe Contractors case, AGP is a D.C. Circuit case, Globe Contractors is a Seventh Circuit case. They say that previous citations is extremely strong evidence of willfulness. Now, so 4 of the citations had to do with violations of this exact standard for failing to provide an adequate protective system. One of the citations involved a fatality. Despite what Mr. Zawadzki says, that citation was affirmed as a final order of the commission. So they knew what the standard required. They had a heightened awareness of what the standard required, and yet they continue to violate the standard. That's willfulness. That's plain indifference. I guess I'll move on to the Fourth Amendment issue, unless the court has any further questions. Again, I'm going to leave most of the discussion of that issue to the briefs, unless the court would like me to discuss specifically. I just want to note that even if there were an error here, and there was no error here, but even if there were an error here, again, that error would be harmless. And that's because of the compliance officer's observation that the trench wall was vertical at the time Noth was in the trench, at 9:24 a.m., according to the videotape. And by the way, that's the compliance officer's own observations. That's not the judge's observations. That's the compliance officer's observations. But getting back to the Fourth Amendment issue, the compliance officer made this observation before Gust even approached him to allegedly refuse to allow him to continue the inspection.
I don't understand why we need to pay any attention to this Fourth Amendment issue. Has the Supreme Court ever applied the exclusionary rule to a civil case?
You know, we make that argument in our brief, Your Honor. We talk about
you
the
Lopez. You make it as a throwaway argument, but it's fundamental. Has the Supreme Court ever applied the exclusionary rule to a civil case?
As far as I know, no.
And it's often held that it doesn't.
Right.
Lopez Mendoza being a recent
right.
example.
Exactly.
So why is this pertinent in any way?
We would argue, and we did argue in our brief, that it wasn't. The only point I would make about the Lopez Mendoza line of cases. That's Hearn Ironworks. And these are cases that have actually applied the Lopez-Mendoza rationale to OSHA. Hearn Ironworks, Smith Steel Castings, and Trinity. The Smith Steel Castings and the Trinity case both held that the Lopez-Mendoza rationale applies to the violation portion of the OSHA proceeding, so there's no exclusionary rule for the violation portion. But those two cases held that it doesn't apply to the penalty phase of the proceedings. And we believe
is this something the United States agrees with?
No, we disagree with that, with the holdings of the Smith Steel.
Otherwise, one would think that in Lopez-Mendoza, the Supreme Court would have said something like, well, the exclusionary rule doesn't apply to the conclusion that you're a removable alien, but you can't be removed.
Exactly.
And that's obviously not what Lopez-Mendoza held.
Exactly. And in fact, there's case law, OSHA case law, saying that, I'm talking about Atlas Roofing, which we cite in our brief, that the penalty aspect does deter future violations. Its purpose is to deter future violations, not to punish past conduct, which is something that the Smith Steel Casings and the Trinity case both. That's the reason the courts found that the penalty phase should not, that the exclusionary rule should apply in the penalty phase. Unless the court has any more questions, I thank the court.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Grable. Anything further, Mr. Zawadzki?
Yes, sir.
Counsel talks about the fact that Lakeland apparently, he has the perception Lakeland didn't have a good safety program. Let me quote from the compliance officer, Your Honor. He testified at hearing that Lakeland had a thorough written program with lots of work rules and disciplinary procedures. He further observed, quote, Lakeland does a lot of training on trenching and excavation hazards and other safety and health hazards. And he concluded that Lakeland has a quality training program. The assertion is made that Lakeland had a policy, but it didn't enforce it, and the judge found it only enforced that policy when an OSHA inspection was involved. That's clearly contrary to the record. We cite in our reply brief that employee Andy Mox, that's at page 7 of our reply brief, was suspended for violation of safety rules. In addition, I would bring the court's attention to another employee who was also disciplined at exhibit number 16 in the proceedings below, at Ted Tober at R16 S and T. The slope. Well, the slope's visible. It's clearly a very steep slope. CO observed that. He testified to that. Why do we take measurements then? Why in the world do we bother to even make a pretense of having evidence as a basis for a finding of a violation? The measurement on the west slope that is contained in this record is 35 degrees. That is well within the parameters for both type A and type B soil. We submit, Your Honor, that we should not speculate, that we should go off the record below OSHA Exhibits 5 and 6 and use those measurements in determining whether or not there was a violation, and if there was a violation, if it was so egregious that a willful finding is justified. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.